Yeah, this is Liam from The Prodigy. I'm going to run track by track over the new album, Invaders Must Die. So the first track is the title track, Invaders Must Die. I think the first tune on any Prodigy album has to be, you know, like Spitfire was on the last album, Smack My Bitch Up was on the previous record. It's got to be something that just tears and kind of smacks you around the head, really. So this does it in a different way. It's a very electronic, abrasive sounding track, kind of different to anything we've done before, I think, you know. I had the riff probably like a year ago. I'd written on my laptop when I was on a plane, and just it sounds like the kind of thing I maybe would have written, you know, sort of like in 1992 kind of era, sort of has that kind of rave melodic feel with a tearing track underneath. And I had the track sort of 80% there, and hooked up with James from Does It Offend You? Yeah, and it was a great track for him to work on with me, and he pulled a few sounds out of the bag and put it together with me, and yeah, it's one of my favourite tunes on the record. It's going to be Invaders Must Die. Next up is, oh, by the way, that track is mainly instrumental. I still think I'm doing like a radio station.
Yeah, yeah.
Radio show. Next track is.
Yeah. So basically the next tune on their record is a tune called Omen. This tune we love, very anthemic, this tune, we feel. It's kind of like, I don't know, we had this hook on another piece of music as well, actually. I think that was the way with this record. We didn't sort of finish one track completely at one time. We kept coming back to the tracks, like we'd do a little bit of work on something, and then a few months later we'd come back again. So I'd be sort of juggling with two or three tracks at the same time, working on the tunes. And this vocal was originally on a much slower piece of music. And it got finished right kind of second from last, this track. It feels like to me it's more melodic than maybe our previous stuff, but it has the same sort of energy as Breathe or something like that, you know?
Yeah, the next track is Thunder. It features a vocalist called Brother Culture. It's quite, how would I say, music kind of reminds me of Justice a little bit, do you know? Obviously tougher than anything Justice, because right, no disrespect to them, do you know what I mean? But Liam's right, written it, you know. It's got a totally different vibe to it. I think, I'm not sure how vocals come about? Was that from one of the CDs I gave you?
Yeah, it was actually.
It was actually a time when, you know, we was seeking ideas and samples and so forth, and you know, I actually gave Liam a CD of pure Studio One and just loads of different reggae records and ideas and so forth, and obviously there was an idea on there which he, you know, some lyrics on there which he thought he could use and manipulate and change a little bit, and it worked on this track, you know, and he got Brother Culture in to do the vocals, and it just seemed to work really well. So yeah, it's a tough track for me. It's probably one of my favourite tracks on the album, actually.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of, like, as Maxim said, it's like Justice meets Out of Space in a way, and Brother Culture coming to the studio, really nice guy, and I think the original tune was Rasta Peace Song by Brentford All Stars, and I kind of ripped the vocal off, because that's what we do, that's our business, you know what I mean, we're pirates, so we steal shit and make it our own. Next tune is Colours, which is, I'm going to pass you over to Keith.
Yeah, Colours is probably one of the sort of first tracks that we felt started to get the sound that we were looking for. Up until then, we'd kind of been writing complete songs and in a kind of lyrics first, music second kind of way. And we realised that, you know, that wasn't the way of the band. You know, the energy really came from, you know, the music first and, the, you know, the danger of the beats and the bass lines, you know, and the energy from that. But yeah, Colours was written in a kind of like quite an unorthodox way for the band. It's probably one of the biggest sort of full songs. One of the, you know, maybe one of the biggest full songs on the album.
Written
in a traditional way, you know. It's
it has like almost like a Stranglers kind of feel, sort of No More Heroes or something like that. Reminds me of that in a way. I love that tune. It's definitely one of the early ones that survived from the early recording sessions. Next up is Take Me to the Hospital with both Keith and Maxim on vocal. This track is just straight up buck wild, just kind of taking inspiration from early Prodigy, but spitting it out in a 2009 style, you know. I know we haven't played this tune live yet, but I know this tune is going to be, it's going to drop this tune live for us. It's going to be kind of something that's, we could already tell, like it's going to be, we think, a fan's favourite on the record, you know.
I would say this, to me, this is the smack my bitch up of this album.
Yeah, definitely got that kind of flavour. Maybe, it's got a few more vocals in that track, but it feels definitely, it's got the same venom, you know what I mean? Feels like we'd really like to release this as a single at some point. Next up is next track. Track 6 is Warriors Dance. It's I'd say this track is probably the turning point of the record. Like, it's probably like about the fourth or fifth track to get written, but it was like I was having sort of problems sort of halfway through and just kind of felt like I needed a break or just not to think about what I was writing for. And we come up with the idea that we'd just write this track for a gig we were doing to take the pressure off the actual album process. And so literally I think we were just thinking about writing Warriors Dance for a certain show we were doing and to play live. And maybe it wasn't even going to ever be played again or kind of even appear on the album. We just thought of it like that. And it's a total, probably the only total look back to sort of a 1991, 92 rave tune on the record. I mean, it's kind of like, it sounds really fresh, but it sounds like it sort of comes out of definitely early Prodigy era, you know?
Run With The Wolves, a track that Dave Grohl got involved with. It all started with an email to Liam saying, you know, listen, man, I've finished touring and been a bang up for doing some drumming. I'm a drummer, that's where I come from. You know, what you up to? You know, and Liam's reply was obviously, well, actually, I'm finishing, our album. And Dave said, listen, go into the studio, I'm going to put down some drums, going to send them across to you, which he did. You know, a hard drive arrived at the studio. And out of that come the process of writing Run With The Wolves. We had the vocal already on another piece of music that wasn't working, you know. The vocals had a little bit too much venom for the track, and but we still really enjoyed the excitement of it and what it was saying. And this was the ideal opportunity to start, you know, to make that work. Liam put the track together and put the vocals on there. And I think we re-vocaled it and then it went back to Dave he re-drummed it, and he was kind of like, yeah, man, I was really hoping it was going to be something like this. This is, you know, he was really excited, and it kind of had a backwards and forwards kind of process to it, where it got developed, and there it was.
It's probably, I'd say, probably, you know, definitely one of the most venomous tracks on the record. And I think the lyrical content, Keith, you were angry that day, I believe.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, I think it was definitely written about a certain someone, who we don't know who that is, but Keith does. And I do really know, but I'm not going to tell you. And just it felt like.
Is it about me?
No. Don't get para. Yeah, and then. And basically, it's, I don't know, when I listen to this tune, it just want, I just want to smash my head against the wall.
Yeah.
It kind of like, when you hear it, you understand what I'm saying. But I mean, basically, like when the riff drops in, it's just violent, I think, you know. And yeah, it's a tune I love. Next up is Omen Reprise, which is, I guess, the only breather on the album. Mm-hmm. Kind of, I guess, I don't know, it's kind of like an orchestrated version of Omen. But it really reminds me of like the music from Scarface. It's got like an 80s kind of like sort of almost Vangelis, or I don't know, it's weird. It's weird. It's like, totally. I wasn't thinking about that when I wrote it, but it just, it's like, it's got a Scarface soundtrack.
Sort of a Blade Runner, you know what I mean? A sort of dark, you know, I can almost hear, you know, sort of rain in the background, you know, but it does have that sort of Vangelis feel about it, you know.
But it's definitely, you know, for the album, you know,
that Vangelis are cool.
it's definitely something what was needed, you know, because you just, there's just an onslaught of tracks in your face. Yeah. And then, you know, track 8, Omen Reprise, just a little bit of space for you to get a breather. And then back in again, you know, track 9, we've got Worlds on Fire, you know, which is in your face. And it's just, you know, once you've just been hit by a baseball bat across the head, you've just been slapped across the face. And by Worlds on Fire, you know. So, you know, I mean, this track was how it came about. Do you know what I mean? Liam was in the studio writing. He had a couple of ideas which he had on his computer, so forth, and he's flicking through them. And he played this idea, and I said, man, that idea's bad, man. You got to build a tune from that. So we started working on it, Worlds on Fire. That was probably...
8 years ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, because Worlds on Fire has probably got about 30 different versions, you know, where it's been, forget that track, do you know what I mean? And then we've gone back to it. And I'm, you know, I was always confident in it, that there was something there, do you know, and to be worked up. And so, you know, I was always on Liam's case, man, we got to work on that track, you know. And we threw ideas against it, and lyrical ideas and so forth. They didn't stick. But as time went on, and we moved to, you know, to another studio, and I think it all kind of came together in the smaller studio, because we was in a bigger studio. And it didn't seem to sound right in that bigger studio. Once we moved to a smaller studio, everything seemed to come together, you know. And all the other tracks kind of seemed to find their place in this studio as well. So it's definitely around that time that it seemed to pop out and find its place.
Yeah, and another thing about this track is like some of the old ravers out there might recognise like the Vamp sample. R&S Records, like one of my favourite labels from the 90s, you know, definitely a huge influence on me, my sound. Renart's a good friend of ours from the label, and Outlander Vamp was the tune we sampled like in the middle. I just remember when I heard that tune first, it was like I was in Raindance, East London, sort of rave in sort of 1991, maybe even earlier, maybe 1990 actually. And so
we play this tune in the live set now, do you know, and people know that riff, do you know, and you know, this tune just goes off in the live set. So
yeah, man. Yeah, so it definitely had its place on the record, and I think Maxim was the main pusher of this tune for me to finish it. I kind of went through different stages of it, and finally found a happy sort of mix, and sort of love the tune now. I really love it. I think it's like, it's one of the, you know, it's definitely up there for one of the strongest tunes on the record. Next up's Piranha. This is another tune which was written quite a while ago, probably in the first sessions. It was an instrumental for quite a while, and we couldn't find a vocal for it, and then come out of this concept of like, Piranha being a metaphor for something that's living off of you, chewing off of you, do you know what I mean? Whatever you want that to be. And that was the concept behind the track. It's kind of, we wanted to have a kind of like 1960s kind of, you know, sort of B-movie kind of vibe about it, and sort of garage punk sort of 1960s kind of sound.
also on, you know, on this track and also other tracks, you know, it's for me just trying to do different vocal ideas and different, you know, rather than just doing straight monotone kind of rap. Do you know what I mean? It's, you know, injecting a bit more melody into, you know, the vocals, and that also goes for the, you know, the other tracks as well. So you know, this is kind of like, for me, kind of stepped it up to another level, doing different kind of vocals, which I'm used to doing. So it's definitely it's up there for me.
Yeah, last up, track 11 is Stand Up. I mean, I always describe this track as like, you know, you've had your head battered around for the last 10 tracks with a baseball bat. Thank you. Yeah, and this is like, I don't know, it feels like sort of like, yeah, it was almost like the last, when I used to go out and you sort of, the DJ would sort of tease you with one last tune, and the last tune always used to be something kind of a bit warm and just kind of uplifting. And I think it's definitely the kind of wild card on the album. It feels like it's, I think people will go, is that the Prodigy or isn't it? I don't know, people might be confused, but it feels like it's a really good way to end our record. It feels really sort of victorious or kind of uplifting sort of feel about it. And it sort of reminds me slightly of like maybe Primal Scream Loaded or something, but it's, yeah, it's a tune I really love, and it's the last tune on the record, and it's like being wrapped in a warm blanket before you fuck off home. Get out of here. And that's it.